Bueno, para que Nicolás diga la fe, turismo programa y tuya junta a Dingi, así que para mí, Tonjino, tu ategueran a no ni uchipopi wacho presidente, ni tumbo nani daito, a no uchipopi wacho na chizama osona, uchipopi wanga ni chon presidente wachirongo, shingana tango te amo palamenda, rotango, pua popizo chiwana, y hagan jangani na tango mazaniko wachirongo kutia, chazi kama peni, national gani na tango, epangero, liapumba na tango okuninga, así que, chimocho mi papi wa semana, unene ngano wa biono haini nguwa kukesho mpresidendo nene po katiko vura. Kwa ngane taki kunda na tango na nirio na tango yon tumbago pachiwana. Po ngane na tango ya tare kutia uchilongo na tango ya chukitha peni. Chana na tango mprakeni wanje, ukare na tango ino za puparandio we. Po ngane utare kutia konima na tango ya thimbatu kwe kwetera punga kutia mpresidende netumbo na ndinda itwa. Taka popi achike, mathana kwa nita katura pochitafara. Nene ngano show, nongo yo politika, chonga nongo eriko. Ato thamongi ni mambiono na tango afana tango taka popi ya hunene ngachi ya po periko. Taranga na tango ngaro ironga. Tukataranga api nima na tango ya nika agrikacha. Sikepa mito njino, penanga na tango kai mwene neno. Nongani ategera na tango protokolo dhikale za ningwa. Pongani na tango meme netumbo na ndinda itwa kare ya mo parliament. Ya kare ngani na tango apopio chipopi wacha, shike pamito njino, tiwe tengani na tango, na mbelo akuruno, yamo mo parliament, tiwe tengani na tango, shike hatika hapo parliament, kwa mbelo kukale ikate na tango na tango.
Thank you very much. We may take our seats. Your Excellency, Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, President of the Republic of Namibia and retired General Ndaitwah, Your Excellency, the Vice President of the Republic of Namibia, Your Excellency, the former President of the Republic of Namibia, Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, the Right Honorable Prime Minister, Honorable Deputy Prime Minister, Honorable Secretary General of SWAPO Party, Honorable Chairperson of the National Council, Honorable Deputy Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Vice Chairperson of the National Council, the Honorable Leader of the Official Opposition in the National Assembly, Honorable Members of Parliament, Your Excellencies, Members of the Diplomatic Corps, esteemed invited guests, media practitioners, ladies and gentlemen, in accordance with Article 32, Sub 2 of the Constitution of the Republic of Namibia, the President and the Cabinet shall each year, during the consideration of the official budget, attend Parliament. During such session, the President shall address Parliament on the state of the nation and on future policies of the government, report on policies of the previous year, and shall be available to respond to questions that may be put to her. Your Excellency, let me take this opportunity to welcome you to Parliament in general and to the National Assembly Chamber of our Parliament in particular. The Houses of Parliament anticipate this happy annual reunion with the Head of State and the Cabinet. Our President, who is elected by a popular vote, is required by the Constitution during the State of the Nation Address to involve in a lively engagement with members of Parliament as elected representatives of the electorate as a measure of accountability and transparency under our democratic governance system. Now, prior to assuming the highest office in the land as the first female president and fifth president of our republic on the 21st of March 2025, President Nandi Ndaitwah served as a Member of Parliament, as we will recall, former Minister of Environment and Tourism, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, and Vice President. A freedom fighter and an advocate for equal rights and women empowerment, her election as President speaks for women empowerment the world over. Now, as provided for in Article 32, sub 2 of the Constitution, and by established convention, I have the distinct honor and privilege to invite Her Excellency, the President of the Republic of Namibia, Dr. Netumbo Nandi Ndaitwah, to address the Parliament and the people of Namibia on the state of the nation. Your Excellency, you have the floor to address Parliament.
Thank you. Please be seated. Honorable Dr. Sarah Kuongerwa Madila, Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Lucas Muha, Chairperson of the National Council, Honorable Deputy Chairperson, Right Honorable Prime Minister Dr. Elijah Ngurare, and Leader of the Government Business in Parliament, Honorable Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Industry, Mines and Energy, Honorable Sophia Nango Shaningwa, Secretary General of SWAPO Party, Honorable Emmanuel Nashinge, Leader of the Official Opposition, leaders of political parties represented in Parliament, Honorable Members of Parliament. I also recognize our special guest, Your Excellency Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, our fourth President of the Republic of Namibia, Her Excellency Lucia Vetboy, Vice President of the Republic of Namibia, Lieutenant General Epaphras Denga Ndaitwah, First Gentleman of the Republic of Namibia, Excellencies, Excellencies, members of diplomatic corps, I have also been informed that as part of the special guest, we have a delegation from Chama cha Mapinduzi of Tanzania in the audience, members of the media, fellow Namibians. I extend my heartfelt congratulations to you, Honorable Sarah Kuongerwa Amadila and Honorable Philippus Katamelo, on your respective elections as Speaker and Deputy Speaker of the 8th National Assembly. Equally, I thank the former Speaker, Professor Peter Kachavivi, and former Deputy Speaker, Professor Lloyd Kasingo, who have executed their task as presiding officers in this chamber with distinction. I also thank our former Deputy Prime Minister, Comrade John Mutora, and members of the National Assembly who served in the 7th National Assembly for their contribution to the better Namibia. Honorable members, I'm addressing you in this reverend chamber without the guiding presence of some of the founders of our republic who have passed on. We should therefore honor the memory of our founding president, father of the Namibian nation, and leader of the Namibian Revolution, His Excellency Dr. Sam Shafishuna Nujoma. We also honor the memory of Comrade Dr. Hage Godfrey Genkop, the first Prime Minister and the third President of the Republic of Namibia, we salute these giants of the land of the brave, whose legacy can never die, and whose debts of gratitude we can never fully repay. May their revolutionary souls rest in perfect peace. Honorable Speaker, my gratitude goes to Comrade Ifike Punyepohamba and Comrade Nangolo Mbumba for the steady leadership they provided over time, and particularly during the storms of adversity that dredged more recently in our nation's history. We are grateful to you for enduring commitments to Namibia. We wish them good health and happiness as they continue to guide us. Madam Speaker, fellow Namibians, Article 32, Subsection 2 of the Constitution placed the President under the obligation to annually, and I quote, as you have said, Honorable Speaker, address Parliament on the state of the nation and on the future policies of government, report on the policies of the previous year, and be available to respond to questions, end of quote. Accordingly, it's my honor to join this House today to deliver my maiden State of the Nation address as the fifth President of the Republic of Namibia. On the 27th of November 2024, the Namibian people were loud and clear by electing the SWAPO Party and I to lead our nation for the next 5 years. I thank the SWAPO Party members for presenting me to the Namibian people as its candidate. I further thank the Namibian people for the trust and confidence they have placed in me by voting me to become the fifth President of the Republic of Namibia. In doing so, the Namibian people have directed the SWAPO Party and I to implement the 2025-2030 SWAPO Party Election Manifesto under the theme Unity in Diversity, Natural Resources Beneficiation, and Youth Empowerment for Sustainable Development. Namibians have placed their hopes in us to lead and to transform our country on the basis of the promises we have made in our victorious manifesto that must be implemented without failure. When I took the oath of office on the 21st of March 2025, I pledged to be the President of all Namibians and to lead our nation with integrity and accountability by fostering unity of purpose and teamwork. As Namibians, we must focus on the implementation of policies and programs to create jobs for our young people and to bring about tangible socio-economic development. Our implementation will be guided by 7 identified priority sectors and 8 enablers later in my address. Madam Speaker, I will now proceed to report on the policies of the previous year, which also conclude the good work of the 7th administration of my predecessors, President Nangolo Mbumba, and our late president, Dr. Hage G. Genkop. I will then outline the vision and implementation priorities of the coming years as articulated in the SWAPO plan part manifest implementation. This plan will serve as the government's blueprint to deliver on the binding contract that we have entered into with the Namibian people. Today, the 24th of April, marks exactly 34 days since I took a solemn oath of office, cognizant of the urgent need to improve the livelihood of our people. Since independence, peace, stability, and the rule of law in our country have served as a strong foundation of our development. It is why we need to use this strong foundation to increase development and prosperity for our people. The Harambe Prosperity Tour is concluded. Hence, we account and reflect on the achievements and challenges encountered during the 2024-2025 period, which is under review. Owing to the strengthening of our processes, systems, and institutions, we witnessed a smooth transition of power following the untimely passing of our third president, His Excellency Dr. Hage Genkop, on the 4th of February, 2024. Notable progress was also made during the reporting period, with key bills being finalized and some ready for tabling. The following laws were passed by Parliament. 1, Vehicle Mass Act 2024, Dissolutions of Marriage Act 2024, Act 10 of 2024, Property Practitioners Act 2024, Act 11 of 2024, Civil Registration and Identification Act 2024, Act 13 of 2024, Health Professionals Act 2024, Act 17, 16 of 2024, Marriage Act 2024, Act 14 of 2024, Regulation of Status of Certain Residents of Namibia, their descendants and foreign spouses, Act 2024. The following bills are now on their way to Parliament for tabling, and I humbly urge parliamentarians to facilitate them during this sitting. 1, the Insolvent Bill. 2, Regional Council Amendment Bill. 3, Local Authority Amendment Bill. 4, Constituent Development Fund Bill. 5, Land Bill. 6, thank you for the National Council. Public Finance Management Bill. 7, Namibia Investment Promotion and Facilitation Bill. 8, Statelessness Determination and Protection Bill. 9, Namibia Citizenship Amendment Bill. 10, Namibia Refugee Control and Recognition Amendment Bill. And 11, the Legal Aid Amendment Bill. Honorable Speaker, our Constitution places great emphasis on environmental protection. During the period under review, the first ever environmental crime court was opened in Ochuarongo to deal exclusively with crimes involving fauna and flora. I had the honor to officially open that court last year. Public procurement is important for economic activities. In that vein, I'm pleased to inform that the Code of Good Practice, which prioritizes local content has been operationalized to further improve transparency, accountability, and management of procurement data, the electronic government procurement portal is now ready for use by offices, ministries, and agencies. In the reporting period, government has made commendable strides to grow the economy after the devastating COVID-19 pandemic. Subsequently, the 2024-2025 budget delivered yet
when
another prima
everything, only Namibia's notwithstanding most advanced data center will do. The Armada data center is a tier 3 by design, certified PCI DSS registered operation, designed to be the most connected and reliable center in the entire country to host your business. Robust security, diverse connections, and true AB power ensures unrivaled infrastructure, while our business continuity facilities offer a co-location experience like no other. Visit armada.baratas.africa to find out more.
Due to the lower income from the diamond sector and from the SACU common revenue pool, fellow Namibians, the global economy is in a state of flux when trade protectionist policies and prolonged conflicts creating marked uncertainty in 2024, reflecting a slowdown from 4.2% recorded in 2023 and is expected to expand to 4.5% in 2025. While government debt remained high at 61% of GDP for the year under review, we are hopeful that the projected expansion of the economic activities in 2025 and 2026 can lead to a reduction in government debt. A sustainable track record of fiscal prudency, compiled with prospects from oil and gas, tourism, and green hydrogen, have contributed to the hope of our country's outlook. Fiscal priorities for the 2025-2028 MTEF will focus on policy measures that will promote growth and reduce expenditures for microeconomic stability through deficit reduction and debt stabilization. Import coverage. The stock of the international reserve rose to 63 billion Namibian dollars, a 17.2% year-on-year increase in import cover of 4.2 months. This is above the international benchmark of 3 months import coverage. The Verevichia Sovereign Wealth Fund, which was established to secure generational wealth, has grown steadily from the initial seed capital of 262 Namibian dollars in May 2022 to $450 million in January 2025. Water supply security. In 2024, Namibia experienced a devastating drought, with agriculture, which accounts for at least 23% of total direct employment, negatively affected. However, in 2025, large parts of the country receive good rains, reviving prospects for agricultural productivity. In December 2024, Namibia gazetted the import tariff for the African Continental Free Trade Area to increase trade and economic activities with other African markets. Honorable Speaker, the following tax reforms will be implemented during the 2025-26 financial year. One, reduction of the non-mining company corporate tax
rate to 30% in 2025 and further down to 28% in 2026. Taxpayers will be granted a further amnesty to get their tax affairs in order by additional 2 years until 2026. Three, increase the mandatory registration threshold for VAT to $1 million Namibian dollars to provide tax administration relief to SMEs. Four, plan special economic zones are expected to have a corporate income tax rate of 20%, the same as for all SMEs, with annual turnover below the defined threshold. Those tax reforms seek to enhance the competitiveness of the tax system to attract investment and foster private sector development, broaden the tax base, improve revenue mobilization to maintain equity in taxation regime. According to the Namibian Statistics Agency, the broader unemployment rate is at 36.9%, and youth unemployment is at 44.4%, which is unacceptably high. The 8th administration has made the fight against unemployment as a key priority. During the reporting period, 206 SMEs participated in the SMEs financing strategy from all 14 regions. The Omukwe Capital Fund, the first public venture capital fund, was registered in December 2024. Currently, 7 financial institutions are participating in the credit grantee scheme with a combined total disbursement of 84.3 million Namibian dollars by December 2024. The solution to high unemployment is also to invest in business and commerce. Hence our focus on upskilling the MSME development by supporting industrialization, value addition, and the professionalization of sectors such as creative industry and sports. We will be able to reduce high-level unemployment in the medium to long term. Fellow Namibians, genocide and reparation. I commend my predecessors for their leadership in the genocide apology and reparation negotiation with Germany. I fully appreciate the challenge and the opportunities that lie ahead in order to heal the wounds and move towards a path of reconciliation and reconstruction. In 2006, the National Assembly unanimously passed a motion on the 1904-1908 genocide, which was spearheaded by the late Obaherere Ombara Oshitambi Kwima Rirako, may his soul rest in eternal peace. The motion unequivocally stated that Germany should, one, acknowledge that German state committed genocide in Namibia during the period 1904 to 1908. Two, render unconditional apology to Namibia. And three, pay reparation. Negotiations by their nature are complex and require a process of give and take. In May 2021, Namibia and Germany agreed on the joint declaration to guide the process of acknowledgement of genocide, rendering of an apology, and payment of reparation by Germany. Beyond the 1.1 billion euro which Germany had said was final amount, Germany acceded to our demand to allocate additional resources. We have to proceed with the knowledge that we have made remarkable progress over the past years of negotiation, and there is an opportunity for a solution to be found. Madam Speaker, our activities as governments are geared towards better housing, health, and education facilities. During the reporting period, 1,772 new plots were fully serviced with water, sewer, electricity, and road services in various parts of the country through combined efforts and investment by government, Shack Dwellers Federation, and the private sector. The national housing policy was adopted during the reporting period, laying the groundwork for urban development. During the 2024-2025 financial year, a total of 1,514 house units were constructed nationwide. Notwithstanding legal disputes that continue to delay the handover of some of the houses under the Mass Housing Development Program, 319 houses under these programs have been handed over to the owners at Swakop Mund. For better management of urbanization, 26 townships were proclaimed during the reporting period, bringing the total to 115 townships proclaimed over 5 years, of which 15 townships have been formalized. On land reform and management, as the unwilling buyer, willing seller principle was not working, following the 2018 National Land Conference, the government introduced the land tax and increased focus on absentee landlords. I request this August House to urgently pass the land bill to ensure that there is a balanced land redistribution. Over the next five years, we will ensure that at least 130,000 hectares of land are added to the portfolio of productive land. Fellow Namibians, the government is not satisfied with disparities between the haves and the have-nots. We believe that creating jobs and business ownership opportunity for Namibians is the key to wealth creation and thereby reducing poverty and income and wealth inequalities. Understanding the corresponding relationship between education, hunger, and poverty, the National School Feeding Program grantees grants a daily meal to 466,860 learners in public schools to arrest the hunger and mitigate children drop out of school. The government has successfully piloted homegrown school gardens to supplement the feeding schemes with more nutritional variety. Social grants as part of our social safety nets to the most vulnerable members of our society amount to a total of 5.49 billion Namibian dollars is allocated. This includes 979 million Namibian dollars for the veterans' welfare. The old age social grant takes care of 217,800 870 beneficiaries. Honorable Speaker, I know that our late President Genkop expressed his wish, which I support, to incrementally increase the old age social grant from the current $1,600 Namibian dollars to $3,000 Namibian dollar over a period of time. I plead with my parents, who are my elders, that we have to take a very difficult decision. This financial year, not to increase the old age social grant. This is due to the urgent need to prioritize our children, the young people, by constructing sports facilities and funding youth-related empowerment initiatives that will lead to job creation for our youth. I give my assurance to our old age citizens that the incremental increase of old age social grants will start during this MTF. That's between me and those, the beneficiaries. The figure is between me and the beneficiaries. The disability grant benefits, mind you, it's a maiden speech, eh? It's not a farewell because I never came back. It's a maiden speech. The disability grant benefit, 58,087 Namibian dollars. While orphans and vulnerable children grant benefits, 375,763. Notably, the government has successfully increased the child disability grant from 350 Namibian dollars to 1,600 Namibian dollars. Households that have been converted from the food bank to a conditional basic income grant have increased from 8,238 households to 21,697, thus benefiting 108,485 people during the pilot rollout and the period under review. Madam Speaker, a health nation is a productive nation. We will ensure the enactment of the Universal Health Coverage Law to save all Namibians by rolling out a standard health care package. The government shall extend rural health services, improve intermediate hospital services, and commence construction of the Category C Havana District Hospital in Commerce Region. So finally I have come, it will restart. It's coming. Yes, thank you. Fellow Namibians, the development of any country depends on the quality of its human resources. To that end, 227 schools were connected to water supply, while an additional 512 new classrooms were constructed during the reporting period. against a national backlog of 4,550 classrooms as at 2023. Also, various sports codes were integrated into the educational curriculum, delivering a more holistic approach to learning. The higher education sector has been expanded with new vocational training centers that were established at Kurenkuru, Korihas, and Katemans during the reporting period. A new Namibia University of Science and Technology campus was opened at Lourdes. Madam Speaker, the Namibian government has taken a zero tolerance stance against gender-based violence. I urge all stakeholders to work together to fight the evil of gender-based violence and violence against children. I consult with the parents and family of a 5-year-old Ingrid Masdrop, whose young life was brutally cut short at Okahanja as we were celebrating our independence. Namibia must be a safe place for all citizens and visitors to work and raise their families. I call on NAMPOL to intensify visibility patrol to eliminate crime in our community. In a move to improve efficiency through digitalization of service delivery, the Minister of Home Affairs, Immigration, Safety and Security has rolled out a biometric fingerprint system to 19 towns, and the ministry will also intensify the rollout of EIDs to the population. Fellow Namibians, while we have done well at the top level of government and parliament, in as far as women and men representation is concerned, I have noted with great concern that 40 of the 104 National Assembly seats are occupied by women, representing 39%, a decline from 47% in the 7th Parliament. 50%, from 50% in the 7th Parliament. Political parties need to find a way to fight retrogressive actions. You might consider to pass a law to ensure 50-50 women and men representation in Parliament. In fact, the current 39% is due predominantly to the Swapo Party policy of zebra lists. Fellow Namibians, in the period under review, the government through the Ministry of Works and Transport, employed a number of qualified artisans from the Association of Unemployed Artisans in the renovation and maintenance of government immovable assets. This includes the Katutura Intermediate Hospital, the Government Museum in Windhoek, aerodromes, as well as construction of roads and railway infrastructures. These efforts contribute to employment creation among the youth. Madam Speaker, infrastructure is a critical enabler for economic development. In the energy sector, the following projects were concluded. the commissioning of the 20 megawatt Omburu Solar Photovoltaic Power Station at Omaruru. The 54 megawatt annex plant expansion at Walvis Bay, and the 20 megawatt Moses Garweb Solar Project at Usakos. The pre-urban electrification program has connected about 12,573 households to the grid. In the water infrastructure sector, the commissioning of phase 3 of the Kwiseb Collector 2 Swakopmund pipeline replaced. The expansion of the rural water network in Ochombinde, Katima/Kongola, and the Rakana South have improved access to potable water. Kaluheke Oshakat Canal renovation continues. We made tangible progress in the transport and logistics with the completion of the Winduko Kahanja dual carriageway, the Swakopmund Hens Bay Kamajaba Road, Phase 1, Section A, and the Wolf's Bay Carlsberg Tumeb rail upgrading, Phase 1, the Northern Railway Line extension, Phase 3, construction of Oshakati Railway Station building and civil work has also been completed. Ongoing projects to be completed over MTEF include the Windhoek Jose Akutako International Airport Dual Carriageway, Phase 2A and 2B, the Swakopmund Kamanyaba Road, Phase 1, Section B, the Walvis Bay Swakopmund Freeway Upgrade, Hobabis Aminius Arano Section B, between Ondrepapa Aminius, Ondrombapa, I wanted you to say it, you are my son. In addition, there are many others there I want you to say as I'm going. In addition, the Ochuarongo Railway Section, Phase 2, this is the other one, the Send Berhal, okay, Batch Hall Broom Railway Line upgrading, Phase 1, and the Karibeb Usakos Road Rehabilitation. Fellow Namibians, the world is changing at a rapid pace, and international relations are becoming increasingly uncertain. As a nation, we must remain attentively to those changes by leveraging our unique geographical location, our natural resources, and our assets. Our proximity to important trade routes and border with peace-loving nations constitute a significant asset in strengthening our economic diplomacy that remain a centerpiece of our foreign policy. Regionally, Namibia continues to implement SADC decisions aimed at the maintenance of peace and security in the region. Subsequently, we continue to honor our financial obligations towards peacekeeping missions. Without peace and stability in the region, there is no development, and regional integration would be an illusion. In that vein, Namibia continues to support all diplomatic and political efforts aimed at finding lasting solution to the conflict in the region and beyond. The Women, Peace and Security Agenda remains one of the highest priority of Namibia. Against that background, In October 2025, Namibia will join the international community in commemorating the 25 years of the Women, Peace and Security Agenda since the adoption of the landmark resolution 1325 that Namibia sponsored. Madam Speaker, Namibia, during the reporting period and beyond, Namibia continued to advocate for the sovereign equality of states and call for the lifting of unilaterally cohesive measures against Cuba, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. Namibia reiterates call for the full implementation of the relevant UN and AU resolutions for the holding of the UN-backed referendum on the right to self-determination for the people of Western Sahara. The people of Palestine have the right to live a peace, security, and dignified as opposed to the continuous humanitarian toll of genocide. Namibia reaffirms unequivocal support for the inalienable rights of the people of Palestine to self-determination, considering our country's grief. Listen to this, my dear son. Considering our country's grief-stricken history, after experiencing atrocity and genocide, we know what it is, and that's why we don't want this to happen in any part of the world. Namibia holds dear the values of multilateralism and international cooperation for the benefit of humanity. Hence our commitment to the implementation of the SADC Strategic Indicative Plan, the AU Agenda 2063, and the recently UN adopted the PEC for the Future, a consensus document that seeks to review global efforts towards peace and sustainable development, and of course, other international instruments to which we are members. And Namibia was honored to co-facilitate this UN summit for the future. Honorable Speaker, Namibia values the partnership we have with many countries of the world, including the United States of America, in different areas of cooperation. With reference to the recent trade tariff introduced by the American administration, it is our belief that the principle of reciprocal tariffs creates opportunity for renewed dialogue on fair trade and equity. To that end, the Namibian government stands ready to engage the U.S. government on a dispensation that is mutually beneficial. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, I'm now turning to the 8th administration and the implementation of the 7 priority areas through the 8 critical economic enablers. The 2024-2025 financial year is now behind us, and we look forward to the future with our eyes set on what lies ahead in 2025 and beyond. As we turn the page to the next chapter, let us think about Namibian story we would like to write. We have to write it together. As citizens of Namibia, we can write the next chapter of our common destiny when we accept that it should not be business as usual. Our plans to deliver on our theme, unity in diversity, natural resources beneficiation, and youth empowerment for sustainable development through the SWAPO Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, we cannot realize that ambitious undertaking contained in our manifesto if we continue to do things in the same manner, yet expecting different results. I repeat again here what I've been saying. I'll repeat against here what I've been saying. We are too few to be poor. Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, we have the capacity. We need just to have the will to eradicate poverty in our country. The plan that we have, which clearly outlines 7 priority areas and 8 critical economic enablers, must drive the socio-economic transformation we have committed to deliver to our people over the next 5 years. Allow me to mention those 7 priority areas for each and every one of us to know them and to work towards achieving them. These priorities are agriculture, sports, youth empowerment, quality education and training, creative industry, quality health and social welfare, land housing and sanitation. The 8th administration is planning to deliver on those 7 priorities through 8 critical economic enablers, which are mining, energy, oil and gas, tourism, agriculture, water, fishery, and transport and logistics. To reach our goals, I'm calling for government that is working for the next 5 years to work with one mind and one heart to ensure that the 7 priorities and critical economic enablers are realized. I have also directed that this must be integrated into NDP6 and in all ministerial plans. I must tell you, the 8th administration has hit the ground running, and we have to deliver. And we make a commitment to work like that until our term comes to an end. Madam Speaker, Namibia has conducive environment for foreign and domestic investors to invest in various sectors of the economy. This should allow us to diversify and grow our economy in order to fight unemployment, which disproportionately affecting our young people. For a long time, we did not fully invest in value addition and natural resources beneficiation, which the 8th administration government has now decided to focus on as a frontier for job creation and economic growth. Strategic projects and programs will be partly funded through the national budget, public-private partnership, as well as domestic and foreign investment. For us to reach our goal, we must commit ourselves to hard work with honesty and integrity. We must fight the evil of corruption. President Mwalimu Nyerere Kabarak once said, and I didn't hear your clap. Only one clap. Yeah, only my son clapped. So I will continue to call to President Nyerere, who once said corruption is an act of treason. I call to him in my inauguration, and I'm quoting it now, and I'll continue to emphasize the fact that corruption is an evil. They divert limited public resources away from development. I'm pleased that efforts to combat corruption have been reinforced through Whistleblower Protection Act and soon the operationalization of the Witness Protection Act, alongside the implementation of the second national anti-corruption strategy. And this act marked important steps forward our fight against corruption. We should make sure of their implementation and their use. Fellow Namibians, mining contributes 12% to our gross domestic product and over 50% of our foreign exchange earnings. Regrettably, this figure does not reflect the true potential of mining and our mineral resources. We all know that value addition and natural resources beneficiation equals job creation and industrialization. As part of value addition, the high iron Oshivelo plant was opening in Arandes, which I opened on the 11th of April, 2025. During the construction, 400 people were employed. While in Arandes, I have met a number of investors who attended the ceremony, and the interest which is shown is that we will expect the production of steel in Namibia. And that is one thing I have asked those investors to make deliberate action to invest on that so that the steel can be made in Namibia. I would want to see cars made with Namibian steel. That is very important, and that's what we are looking for. Among others, the critical minerals such as lithium, cobalt, manganese, and rare earth elements are the target for value addition. We need really to add value to these resources. Currently, only a fraction of our marbles is exported as finished products. I've seen the one in Caribbean. But there is a need, and we are working aggressively to mobilize investment in this industry in order to scale up the value addition of our marbles. We want to see Namibian tiles and all products that come from marbles to be in the market as finished products. Currently, a few are exported to America, and those people really, when I met them, they are showing interest to increase more. The oil and gas sector holds the potential to transform our economy in the next 5 years. This new industry requires close monitoring, hence my decision to place it in the presidency. As I look to nature, its potential for the benefit of Namibians. And to gain maximum benefit from this industry, the oil refinery is part of the program. The Eighth Administration will place unwavering focus on ensuring that Namibia achieve first oil production within the shortest time frame. We will work maybe 3, 4, 5 years. Oh yes. We will work with strategic partners streamline regulatory process, and invest in the critical infrastructure to unlock the full potential of our hydrocarbon resources. This milestone will not only fuel our energy security, but also drive rural and pre-urban electrification, job creation, local capacity development, and sustainable growth for generations to come. Madam Speaker, minor urbanification can only be enabled by sufficient quantity of energy and water. The desalination plants to be set up in a Rongo region will be critical enabler for unleashing our country's full economic potential, thereby increasing output for the mining sector. It must also be underscored that Namibia is the third highest producer of uranium in the world. As part of the value chain, we must not shy away from using this God-given resource to contribute to our energy mix. While I'm not in position to tell you when we will have a nuclear energy power plant in Namibia, I can assure you that the discussion will certainly begin this financial year. Strategically located the industrial zone along the coastal region of our country will be placed close to our port infrastructure and will act as a key exporter hub. Those special economic zones are going to be key hosts for competitive industry, which will help transition Namibia from a primary extracting to industrialized economy. The government will provide a conducive environment for the private sector to thrive and will provide the prerequisite enabling infrastructures delivered on economic promises of the manifesto. We have a good track record of working with domestic and international investors, and we aim to improve on our collective efforts. We call on the private sector and other stakeholders to join us, unlocking the opportunities that lies ahead. Agriculture. As our founding president taught us, a nation that cannot feed itself will never be respected. By placing emphasis on food security, climate resilience, and competitiveness agriculture, the 8th administration aims to reduce agricultural imports by 8%. During the 2025-26 financial year, the government will inject a capital amount. Don't worry about this one. I know what I'm talking about. Seriously, just wait for the work to be done. Of 561 million Namibian dollars into agricultural infrastructure. The greens infrastructure, the green scheme will be put into full operations and the agro-processing will be intensified. We also intend to introduce cattle breeding improvement. We talk about the bulls and cattle head restocking schemes with the aim to improve the beef industry. The breed improvement is targeting emerging, resettled and communal farmers. Fellow Namibians, sports. The sports industry is a major part of the global economy. We should move away from looking at sports only as a recreation and entertainment, and regard it as an avenue that should be harnessed to create sustainable livelihood and generate wealth, especially for the youth. The sports industry, you must know, it includes research and development, talent management, construction and marketing, creating many new business opportunities, and stimulating job creation. The eighth administration will therefore work towards the professionalization of sports code, targeted investment promotion, and sports infrastructure development. To give effect to our agenda, the construction of the following sports facility will commence during this financial year. Construction of Category 2 stadium with capacity of 10,000 seats at Omphia in Oshkoto, Mariendal in Hardap, Kobabis in Omaheke, Katima Murilo in Zambezi, Ochiwarongo in Ochodonjupa, and Nkurenkuru in Kavango West. Construction of and renovation of 7 Category 3 stadium with a capacity of 30 seats at Oshakati in Oshana region, Rundu, 30,000 seats. What did I say? Oh, 30,000 seats at Oshakati in Oshana, Rundu in Kavango East, Independence Stadium in Commerce, Outapi in Omsati, Swakop Mundi in Erongo, Enan in Ohangwena, Kate Mans in Karas. Construction of multi-purpose youth centers at Mariendal Haldap, Kurenkuru Kavango West, and Opuo Kunene region. Further, $200 million has been put aside for basic sports facilities in the constituencies. This is just for this year. The government, together with the private sector, will continue to invest in the professionalization of sports league and hosting of international sports events. Madam Speaker, youth empowerment. As I have mentioned before, empowering our young people is about sustainable development. Youth empowerment has been elevated to one of the 7 priority areas in the SWAPO Party Election Manifesto Implementation Plan. We will consolidate the various government funds, grant, and scheme targeting the youth into a single ring-fenced youth fund that will focus exclusively on providing targeted support to youth-owned informal and micro-business. This consolidation into one fund seeks to reduce the cost of administration. An initial seed amount of $257 million has been allocated for in this financial year. As a government, we will strengthen the SME financing strategy to assist the MSC to address the challenges that they face, which include access to startup finance and lack of business skill, by increasing the coverage of credit grantee scheme, the mentorship and coaching program, and implementation of the venture capital fund. In the new financial year, an amount of $9.8 million is budgeted to complement the soft loan for the 121 youth-owned enterprise. In addition to existing efforts, the instrument towards youth empowerment will roll out the National Youth Internship and Apprenticeship Program this financial year, both in the private and the public sector. In the public sector, ministries are already directed that some of their budget for training, considering that employees, they are employed because they have qualification, but we know one needs to improve all the time, but some of this money must be used for this purpose. Creative industries have also been elevated as a national strategic priority so as to enhance the creative and innovation of our youth in a holistic and integrated manner and leverage the fourth industrial revolution. An amount of $50 million towards the hosting of the 2025 National Art and Creative Industry Award has been allocated. Furthermore, the Art Fund Act of 2025 will be reviewed so as to expand the mandate in incorporating the Creative Industry Infrastructure and Equipment Fund. This fund will be capitalized and operationalized during this MTF. The Ministry of Information and Communication Technology is directed, one, spearhead digitalization work together with the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Art and Culture, the private sector, and academia. The ministry should also develop a database of IT experts for use as appropriate. Oversee the establishment of special economic zone for the film industry in the country. While the Namibian Investment Promotion and Development Board is tasked to intensify investment promotion for Namibia as an international, world-class film-producing destination, and to include sports and technology as a priority sector for investment. Madam Speaker, quality education and training. Education is a tripartite partnership between government, parents, and learners or students. As a nation, we have a moral imperative to educate the Namibian child, to drive cost savings, and to minimize value to students benefiting the Namibian Student Financial Assistance Fund will be reintegrated back into the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Art and Culture by October 2025. Through the universal access to education policy, the Namibian government has been providing free primary and secondary education in all public schools. While tertiary education in Namibia is already significantly subsidized by the government, I'm pleased to announce that from the next academic year, commencing 2026, tertiary education will become 100% subsidized by the government. That means no registration fees and no tuition fees. At all public universities and technical and vocational education center. That's why I appeal to my parents. While this will be gradual phased-in approach, Your contribution as families and students for now. Listen to this. For now, underline that. For now will be towards accommodation and other related costs. I'm fully aware of some people who might have difficulties, but this is the position. We heard your cry, which is, fees have fallen now. Your job, you are not standing. You have been calling for it. Thank you. Okay, no free lunch, no free lunch. The above must serve as a specific message to our youth. That's what I'm saying to them now. For you, my children, the youth, that's now a golden opportunity accorded to you by your caring government in an independent Namibia. You are therefore to maximize use this opportunity to bring out your talents to contribute meaningfully to the development of your country and support your parents. Yeah. Once you are empowered, we must support our parents. That's very, very important. The AIDS administration will therefore count on your individual and collective support and contribution towards our collective agenda of nation building and development. Madam Speaker, we have set ourselves to address the situation of informal settlement. The national alliance between the public, private sector and members of the society in the upgrading of informal settlement and in the speed up delivery of low cost residential houses and sanitation continue to be a priority. Going forward, the AIDS administration has planned to construct 10,000 low-cost social housing per annum and 50,000 units over the 5 years term. The mass formalization, we say at least, we don't want to promise things we cannot do. What we say, we do it. The mass formalization of informal settlement will commence in earnest. There is a need for innovation to augment institutional capability and decongest the bureaucrat bottleneck that have been for too long undermining supply of urban land and housing. Where is the Minister of Urban in the center, in the chamber? To this end, the Minister of Urban and Rural Development is directed to establish a special land delivery task force. Under the existing laws, restructuring the township board and capacitate the Surveyor General's office to faster track servicing to creating more land and housing ownership opportunity. Every Namibian deserves the opportunity to a safe environment to call home. Yeah. Fellow Namibians, the successful implementation of our plan will result in economic growth and improved living standard for Namibians, where citizens have access to basic human needs and live in a dignified life. The AIDS administration aims to meet this basic human needs of decent shelter, food and potable water, quality education and health services, safety and security, so that every Namibian can realize their full potential. We have committed ourselves to strengthening of government institutions as well as the security and law enforcement agency. The management of the current floods in the country has underlined the importance of well-resourced security and law enforcement agencies. Both the Namibian Defense Force and NAMPO facilitated the efficient and effective movement of flood victims to safety and have transported the food, water, and all essential services needed by the flood victims. I thank on behalf of the Namibian people, I thank our uniformed personnel for the quality service you continue to render to our people. I also thank all government offices, ministries and agencies who have managed this year's flood effectively. Honorable Speaker, the SWAPO Party Manifest Implementation Plan has identified some of the laws and policies that undermine effective service delivery that needs to be amended. In addition to that, members of the Cabinet, individually and collectively, are under clear directive to review and amend all the laws which are hindrance to quality service delivery in their areas of responsibility. I am appealing to you, Honorable Members of Parliament, that when those laws are brought here, please handle them with urgency. We have no time to waste. I am now using this platform to call on the public, should there be a law which you consider to be a hindrance to service delivery, send your concern to the Minister of Justice. Where is the Minister? To the Minister of Justice and Labor Relations to speed up the process. Please be specific on the particular article and clause of consent. It will even be appropriate if you can submit your proposal to enable the discussion to be more focused for a solution or understanding to be reached. Understanding. Because you might understand it differently. But once you meet and discuss, you realize that there's no problem with the law, but the problem is the implementation. And then together we can start to implement it. Talking to ourselves, fellow Namibians, will never solve our problems. Let our worries be brought to the attention of those with national responsibility in a more structured manner. If I have to read the 10,000 SMS coming maybe from ghosts, how do I really approach who for further discussion? Let us be more structured. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, fellow Namibians, as I conclude, I want to thank members of the 8th Parliament. In your maiden speeches, most of you have recognized the support you have received from your families. I really found this very significant, as our Constitution is very clear that the family is the basic unit of our society. That means a strong family will mean a strong nation. And if our parliamentarians, they pay attention to their family, for me, that's really rejoicing. Let me also add, and to use this opportunity to thank Lieutenant General Ndaitwa, my dear husband. My children, all my family members, household members, for the support they continue to give me. Madam Speaker, fellow Namibians, we are fortunate to be here at this pivotal moment of our nation's history, where we can collectively shape our destiny. We may be from different regions, different race, different ethnic groups, different political parties, but we are all Namibians. Together we have upheld the enduring value of unity, liberty, and justice. Our path to prosperity shall not be easy. Nothing good comes easy. Yeah. And we should all work hard to live up to the binding contract we have signed with Namibians. I am confident that together we can fulfill the promises that tomorrow holds for Namibia, that is just for each and every citizens. One Namibia, one nation. I thank you for your kind attention.
Yeah, para que nicole de Eagle FM, waringa wapo kene ko chitoporwa cha kukutu kwa matanga kana Namibia, ano mdootora netumbo na ndinda itwa, kono ngari apo pipo mo parliament, waringa ganjo chipopi wache chopo presidente, chipopi wache ono ne hachi ganjo arusheko kovura, kutia Namibia kwa thikama peningache ya periko, na ini manatango ini ochirongo na tango cha tarera, na ngenengane na tango takakara arera, kwa liatara na tango kini mwinji. Ashike, kwa popi mwini maasimana, shika tukechi njanjukunu na ngano kutia, kwa popi ine maiti ngini, na tukatara ngani na tango, tukarundukira koma puro, ngono waka ningwa neko kirio na tango, ntumba kwa pachi wana. Ashike, mpurahama nena tulimono nironga pawe nangae, tulimono nironga pawe nangae, Bernadette Simon, ingani na tango tuline, Bernadette, muharo uri ngini?
Muharo wa?
Yeah.
What
happened now,
Mr. David?
And what happened now? Yeah, I'm going to go to Chipopi Wacha Memene Tumbo. Unene shonwa ganja ko parliament nena. Mutu ini ma itatu inito vuro kukuthamo. Nenge ini ma itatu inito vuro kukuthamo tomono kucha bino oyo apopimo. Biono wangani natango apopimo iiri. Unene chifuri tengano ngototo ere kanitangani natango nde presenta tono o nguru. Nenge tutaranga kucha ochini wapandamo no chini na tango chafacha semana kuza kungwe.
Yeah. Onzete kucha kondinga yo shipopi wa shon presidente wetu. Anzi ndala ku ndichendala kucha kosha.
Yeah.
Petumbulo ili apotsa kucha. We must commit to our hard work without any corruption.
Yeah.
So onzete kucha opo etumbulo ili la yukilila unyinenenga shitashi ya kombinga shashune no tapopi kombinga ya youth adot dili moshirongo shetu konya deni longa paife
yeah.
Dili hano atutingo ne most street island che dili meala kano
yeah.
Kabe na shilonga no ba graduate and yeah. They don't have job
yeah.
Ndwete kucha okupota moncho aesha pota kucha na tukomite ko hard work
yeah.
It's true kucha they said
mm-hmm.
Trying is better than doing nothing ndwete kucha ovanyasha otwapunga kukala na ndenge no amoni longa you have to commit on whatever you are doing or yeah. Whatever the job you have you must commit to it and again I would like to comment on this statement when she said we are too few to be poor we are too few to be poor
yeah.
Especially in our country yes nwetena na population na yetu mwana mibia mwete na natu vapulela kuchangeno pangotuli mwotu vapu nene itatudulu kui kuminina nenge tudule kuyambula po opo oshilongo shetu shidule kuyakomesho.
Yeah.
Ondwete ngo kucha opo natango kwa ele kapo kucha natango shaila kucho tuapungwa kulonga nudzini ni natango opo tudule kuyambula po na unene kulikufako koshiolwe po.
Yaro, tuye tenga ni natango kutiatuka kana kata tarira natango mapuro kakazi kiri on tumba wapachi wana tuye tenga onsamane gwedi omnani wa IPC mo parlamenta imsi na shingetaka thika maapopie ashike magi natuka njof mito shono kutia chimame netumba wapia chasima ono shono kutia kuzovura ia ipo tutiraishi mbiono ya magepangiro kwa ti kaputapuka kara penano na futo registration po natango itapuka kara noho pena kapore itapuka kara futo natango skora charu kutipangiro alika kara ali futu skora ke university adise chalo kutio university hunene ke university de pangiro no ki kondo mbiono ya pangiro aika kara ochari chalo kutie pangiro aika ali kwatera po tira uchashono jocho chomini maimu yona ashike na tie koko parliament tukatarengano natango msamane ims na shingeshita kapuro mapuro ye ku president takapura on president.
Made reference to the commitment of job creation in the creative industry and natural resource beneficiation. If Your Excellency can give us the methodology and the target for these two industries in the next 12 months, if such detail is not provided, how can the public trust that this SONA will not become yet another set of unfulfilled promises? I thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Nashinge. Okay, the Honorable MPs would have to indicate they want to speak because I will not just, Your Honorable Ampanda, you are next on the line, but I didn't see you indicate. Would you like to take the floor to pose a question? Because I didn't see your light. Okay. So please, all the honorable members must put their light on if they would like to ask for the floor, because I will give where the lights are on. But the AR was next on the list, so the Honorable Ampanda has the floor.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency. Congratulations on your election. I didn't get an opportunity to do that. When the results were announced, there were only two candidates there, me and you. You passed by me. You didn't see me. Maybe the situation was DMK. But congratulations. Your Excellency, the triple challenges that Namibia faces, being poverty, unemployment, and inequality that are commonly found in former colonies, requires a capable developmental state, a state that is interventionist in character, that is actively involved in the economy, that is characterized by a competent bureaucracy informed by a meritocratic system, a state in which
the capable and those with capacity are the one who get the job, not the, those one who shout the loudest. It is a state whose leadership has an ideological hegemony for a country's developmental trajectory. Your Excellency, we urgently need a developmental state. I would therefore would like to get your perspective on the following. The neoliberal forces may tell you that it is our small private sector that will create jobs, and that as political leaders we must only cut ribbons and deliver speeches at their events. This lazy approach is fatal and discredited. We must actively get involved as a state in the economy. Our footwear, the shoes, imports surpass more than 5 million pairs per year, costing more than 700 million. Our mining industry alone employs more than 18,000 people. The police have more than 10,000 members. Our defense has more than 10,000 members. These three categories alone take us to 50,000. If each of these employees or members require 2 pairs per year, then 100,000 pairs are required annually. At present, all these pairs are imported. This does not even include security guard, construction workers, municipality workers, cleaners, and others. If the government establishes its own manufacturing, shoe manufacturing factory, say Modikwa Manufacturing Pty Ltd, it can contribute to dealing with unemployment without difficulty. After setting it up, a mere directive from the president and or minister of defense, police, and that of mines will lead to a state-owned company to have guaranteed income. Currently, millions are going to South Africa, Netherlands, Germany, UK, China for shoes. It's actually our money that creates jobs in these countries. This model can create more than 1,500 direct and indirect jobs. We can establish this factory to revive an employment zone that once existed in Damaraland at a place called Uis, in existence since 1922, or Shikango that was once an export processing zone before it was left to ruin. All it requires is your instruction and the rest will fall in place like falling leaves of autumn. You have done very well, Your Excellency, and we are very happy to hear that you're talking about free education. As much as we are very excited, we are not too sure. Your Excellency has been disrupted.
No, it's okay. She's following. She's okay. Just go.
So,
President is safe.
So, Your Excellency, you spoke very well on free education. We're very excited about it. But of course, we didn't hear about where the funds are going to come from. We want to assist you that we cannot be borrowing money to fund the education of our children. All we need to do is a simple model, sustainable model, easy to do. If you have a model that works such as social security, there are 500,000 Namibians that are employed. If each one of them contribute $50 Namibian and their employers also do the same, it means we are going to have 50 million per month, 600 million in a year. In 2 years of inception, we leave that money, we don't touch it. It's going to be about 2 billion. So it is nice for us to proclaim it, but the current model is such that it requires government to fund it through collection of taxes. So it will be on its own, like social security. Yeah, we pay social security, and some of us men, we don't benefit from that. Women do benefit, but we accept that it's very important. So here is a model that you can consider. I don't need to go in details because of time, but we are very happy that you are pronouncing. We are simply just giving a model on how it can be implemented. By 2041, Your Excellency, in less than 16 years, Windhoek will have more than 800,000 inhabitants. We have about 10,000 people that come to Windhoek every year. Solving Windhoek problem without having regard to these demographic realities and pattern is a factor. A courageous dog that can chase a moving vehicle barking endlessly, but in the fullness of time, it will discover that it will not catch up. As evil as they were and are, our oppressors actually sat down and designed our operation. The Odendaal ideas of the mid to late 1960s became a plan before a commission was established, followed by a law. It is no accident that places are known as clustered, Shandubala, which means clustered, while other places are called pioneers for the pioneers in Pioneers Park, or Highland, which is Hopland Park. We live in dark corners called Donkerhoek, while others are in academia for academics, with street named after Aristotle and Plato,
while our children are playing in sin and Lucifer streets. Our oppressors took social engineering seriously. We didn't create a single city in 35 years, Your Excellency. Only villages that were upgraded, which is a good thing, into towns without serious and purpose of urban design. At most, these poorly conceived proclamations were upgrades of existing trade centers of local communities. Let us plan a new Namibian city from an idea, plan, to action. Unlike cities planned under colonialism, ours should be one designed with love, African ingenuity, and progress in mind. A city planned by a free people. Let's establish a city at Cape Freer in the Kunene region. It will be a logistical hub through our new port, beautiful beaches and sceneries, rich cultural tourism and other special economic zones. You spoke about some. In October 1995, Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad birthed an idea of Malaysian third city, Putrajaya. By February 2001, it became a country third city. Abuja in Nigeria is another planned city built in the 1980s and replaced Lagos in December 1991. Both Nigeria and Malaysia actually had the same condition as Namibia and Botswana, so we can do it. It's very interesting that we had actually prepared to come and submit to you that we need to place 100,000 hectares of land under irrigation. Interestingly, in your address, you spoke about 130,000. So I don't need to repeat it again already. So I'm very excited that you spoke about that. Because it's only about 10 to 15,000 hectares of Namibian land that is under irrigation. Of that, the green schemes are actually about 8,000 hectares. The government gave about 10,000 hectares of land to produce drugs in the Zambezi. So in other words, to produce drugs in Lucello in Zambezi is more than all green schemes of government combined. So I won't go in details because others need to be able to contribute. Those are the items that I seek your perspective, Your Excellency. But there are specific questions, Your Excellency, that requires your answer. Your Excellency, when you went to exile, you were tired of oppression, probably the same way some of us are tired of continuity of colonialism 35 years after independence. You paid the price of freedom because there was a promise of freedom. You didn't go in exile for colonialism to continue under you. 51 years ago, in 1974, M.T. Albert was appointed as deputy sheriff. He's still a deputy sheriff for Kunene today. 36 years ago, in 1989, J.A. Pulleston was appointed as deputy sheriff. He's still a deputy sheriff for all four O regions and Kunene region in 2025. Andre Visser, D.G. van Wyk, D. Pretorius, M.J. Hens were appointed as deputy sheriff in 1992. They are still deputy sheriffs in 2025 for Erongo, Hardap, Commerce, 33 years later. P.W. van Heerden was appointed deputy sheriff in 1994, and in 2025 he still remained a deputy sheriff for Karas 31 years later. B. Van der Westhuizen was appointed deputy sheriff in 1995. 30 years later, he remains a deputy sheriff. The deputy sheriff are appointed in terms of Section 30 of High Court Act by the Minister of Justice. All these years, the Vissers, Van Heerden, Van der Westhuizen, Van Wyk, and others were always appointed without an advertisement or open competition in a democratic society, a society for which you went in exile for. It was understandable when the apartheid regime appointed them in 1974 and 1989, respectively. But on what basis, Your Excellency, does the democratic government continue with the same oppression, sustaining it for 35 years? For how long will this oppression and corruption continue? Worse in a justice system that ought to ensure justice and fairness. The reality is that there is nothing special about this individual that cannot be done by many graduates of law. There is nothing complicated about serving documents and holding auctions. Many competent black lawyers are in the street because of these practices that the government continue to sustain, the very practices rooted in apartheid, racism, and colonial project. In fact, because of many law graduates that are unemployed, a motion was tabled in the 7th Parliament calling for a limitation in the enrollment of law students. When are we ending this colonial practice and stopping this secret tender so that every qualifying Namibian can get an opportunity, especially law graduates, Your Excellency? Your Excellency, access to justice remains a challenge that is acknowledged both by ordinary people and even your government. The government and the judiciary created, Your Excellency, a commercial court. In other words, a court for the rich, solving dispute of the rich faster. To access this court, Your Excellency, that is founded at the Swabo building, your dispute must involve millions. This court was established on the recommendation of European bodies. Recently, Your Excellency, you also said it in your address, an environmental crimes court was established to deal with rhino horns and other wildlife crimes that the Europeans are unhappy with. We now hear that there are plans to establish a tender court. While all these initiatives for the rich are taking place, calls for a small claims court fell on deaf ears. A person that is owed 1,500, Your Excellency, by another, is asked to pay 2,500 just to see a lawyer to open a file. Who can pay 2,500 just to recover 1,500? A bill actually exists, Your Excellency, drafted 20 years ago, but it was never brought here, it was never passed. Your Excellency, is it wrong for ordinary Namibians to see the judiciary for what it is, as working for foreigners, the rich, and those in power? When is the small claims court coming, Your Excellency? When is the court for the poor coming, Your Excellency? In April 1990...
Honorable members, we are giving the floor to ask questions to the President.
Those are questions.
No, they are too long. The questions are very long.
No, those are my questions. I'm almost done.
No, the preludes are too long. I note that we are almost done, but please, those who are following, must be to the point. Okay. Otherwise, we will not be able... The honorable member must summarize the prelude and go to the question. I think the introduction is too long. It's like a statement.
Okay. The longest ones comes. Are done.
Yeah. Please round up.
So, but these ones, I'm competent enough to be able to explain them without going through them. Your Excellency, in 1990, the government had an institution called NEPRU. It established... It organized a workshop. Otto Heriger, who was Minister of Finance, attended the workshop, and all these governors of central banks came to Windhoek. And in his address, he was saying that the pegging of the Namibian dollar to the rand would only take place for about 6 months or so. Now, 35 years later, we are still pegged to the rand. What if a right-wing government comes to South Africa and decides that they are going to unplug us? What are we going to do? Is it sustainable? Your Excellency, you have been very clear as far as institutions such as the ICC and how it oppresses the Africans and things like that. Your Excellency, in the current budget, we are paying $1 million to the ICC. Why are we paying, Your Excellency, $1 million to the ICC? Just so we actually, the one are funding the ICC to go and oppress other African leaders. We think we can do something about that. Your Excellency, we are paying $2 million to two private-owned companies in America. One is called Moody, one is called Fitch, owned by families. In fact, Moody is the one that was responsible for the 2008 global financial crisis. In this budget, Your Excellency, we are funding those American institutions. I'll jump other things because in the interest of time. As I sit down, Your Excellency, there's an African saying that those who do not learn from the history, they are bound to repeat the mistakes. I'm appealing to you, Your Excellency, to sleep with one eye closed and one eye open. Your successors do not owe you continuity. President Nyoma might have learned the hard way. He wanted the young people to be taken through the National Youth Service. The National Youth Service, as we speak, is an organization that has been reduced to a security company that is selling grapes. But he wanted all of us to go through the National Youth Service. President Poamba just realized it now. He went to bed sleeping with all his eyes closed. When he woke up, he was in a mess of TPEG and mass housing. The greedy and the corrupt people are very skilled in terms of hyping up leaders, celebrating them and telling them that they are the best.
One minute, Honorable Member.
1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute now. You have now about, you have spoken for more than 5 minutes now.
Yes, as I was concluding.
1 minute.
Yes, thank you for that 1 minute. So he woke up, he was in a mess of mass housing. Nobody remembers. I wonder whether those millionaires remember his birthday or let alone visit Okamudi. President Genko used to like slogans, prosperity this, prosperity that, Sheikh's gone in 5 years. So we hope that you don't repeat the same mistake and you just continue to do the work. I hope we can one day be able to tell our children that we made submission to Mene Tumbo and she implemented it. And if she doesn't, we'll also tell our children, we wish you all the best. We will support you when you do good for our country. But we will also, without fear and favor, stand up against you and everyone who's in a remote dikwa when things go wrong. May God bless you. May our ancestors guide you as you prepare for the seat for your son in 2030. I thank you very much.
Thank you. Now I will give an opportunity to three more people so that the president would handle 5 questions. But please, let's... No, you don't have to take it yourself, but yeah. Because otherwise it will be a back and forth. We follow the rules. We go to the questions. I will give the floor to Honorable McHenry Venani, who will be followed by Honorable Bernardo Swartboy, who will be followed by Honorable Vetaruhe Kandorodo. And then we give the opportunity to the president to respond. Honorable Venani.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. Honorable Speaker, I recognize the strangers of the House, Vice President, who has not even said goodbye, Vice President, Your Excellency, former President, Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, my dear father and first gentleman, Your Excellency, General, Lieutenant General retired, Honorable, or Your Excellency, Honorable dear mother, Mene Tumbo Nandi Daitwa, congratulations on achieving the unachievable for us to have a woman president. Yeah. In this republic. It's something commendable, even if I came third from you. Even if I came third from you, I recognize you as my president. Yeah. Honorable President, Your Excellency, I've listened to many State of the Nation address. So did you. We have clapped many hands many times. Mm-hmm. But this republic has not changed. And we must change it. Before I come to my question as a footnote, your presidency, and I'm speaking from the bottom of my heart, politics aside, Namibia first. Your presidency cannot dare to fail. If it does, this Namibia will become a retrogressive state like all other African countries. So your presidency must pass the test of changing the country. Because of that, I'm asking you the following question, with all due respect to you, Madam President. You are saying something very good. The fees are going to fall. The opposition has its day that we wanted fees to fall. Now they are falling. But listen, yes, it's the truth. She even recognized it. Just be honest. The problem with this country is we lack honesty.
Sir, can you protect him, please?
Madam President, you have started off very well, and I've said it during my budget debate speech, and I'm sure you listened to it.
Yes.
I said, tactically as a politician, you have done the right, you have hit the right notes. But strategically, policy positions of your government must be aligned with the good tactics that you are putting forth. This is the problem that we are having, the following questions. We are going to generate more students, equity, access to education, which is a good thing for our people to go through education. Where are the jobs for these young people? The only industry that this country has that can be able to produce employability of young people is the agricultural sector. With creating value change, growing the economy. This economy has not been growing for the last 35 years. It has been growing fall less than 3.8%. We need 7.7% to deliver prosperity in a country.
Correct.
Why, in your strategic approach, Madam President, are you underfunding agriculture with a meager 2.6 billion? If we want to change the country, create value change, create job security, and going forward, we have a problem, a fundamental problem, and I have a fundamental problem for your government spending so much on GDP, on bureaucrats, on security, and so less on agriculture. What is your position on changing the funding of agriculture? Number two, question number two, there is a housing problem in this country. And I am agreeing with you that you want to promise 50,000 houses, which are awfully too few. And I tell you how you can liberate the housing market. The problem with the housing, Windhoek, let's start with Windhoek, Ombwalia, Totina, and all those neighborhoods, all those citizens that are living east of Windhoek or west of Windhoek, do not own the land on which they are living on.
Correct.
It's not that these people do not have money. There are some of them on which they are. It's not theirs. Even if they have the money, they cannot build the house. Why doesn't your government free the land, access to equity, a one Namibian one plot policy, so that we deliver plots to people so that they can be able to build houses while you are building 50,000 houses? Question number three. Question number three, there is a policy that I agree with government. And that is, I was always Kawandenge, in Kawandenge's word, flabbergasted. I was always watching Kenyan leaders, Daniel Arap Moi, and Mwai Kibaki at a later stage, burning the ivory stockpiles. And I asked myself, don't these people have problems with their own country? They are saying, no, this ivory was stolen, people stole this ivory and they did poaching and therefore they would be banned. And I agree with the Namibian government position saying that. We have 2.5 billion worth of stockpile of ivory protected somewhere. What is the policy of the government in creating value chains so that we start processing these ivory stockpiles that we have for us to be able to create jobs with something that we have, because we have taken a decision that we are not going to burn them like the other countries? What are the CITES rules saying about these ivory stockpiles, and what is it that we can do about it going forward? Fourthly, and most importantly, Madam President, I have been talking to you as a foreign minister on the genocide for many, many days at your office, at various forums across the world. The government has taken a position, and cabinet has taken a position to accept the German joint declaration deal, providing us with a sheer $1 billion, the same amount that we are giving to education for 1 year. The Germans want to atone, they want to ask for an apology, but they are only ready to pay. They have taken the land, they have taken movable and immovable assets, they have killed our people. They are only ready to pay a budget of the education that we spend on education for 1 year, and they are telling our negotiators that, no, we are going to consider something extra as the time moves on. What kind of negotiations goes on like that? Where is the government commitment on the figure? What is it that we want as a country? Madam President, would you agree with me to call an international dialogue in the Namibia, where all the communities outside and inside this framework can come and start agreeing on a national strategy on genocide? Rather than government, cabinet has accepted, you are afraid to bring this thing to National Assembly because you know we are going to reject it because it is badly negotiated. Now, as a country, when are we coming together to create our own national strategy on this deal, so that we tell the Germans this is our bottom line? Because Benani has a bottom line, the president has a bottom line, everyone has a bottom line. Whose bottom line are we following? But at this point in time, the joint declaration is a non-starter. Lastly, Your Excellency, President, on corruption, when you were speaking about corruption, your people are not clapping.
Yes. Shafuta was not clapping.
But I've given you the high notes politically, and I'm a politician that can assess the high notes. Mm. But the low notes of your presidency have started with a very, very lackluster approach towards corruption. Mm. There is August 26 audited reports that I have fought the ombudsman, the government was rejecting, that Venani is demanding an August 26 report that he ought not to have because of security details. The ombudsman agreed with me that Venani is correct. President Gaingob later on said, okay, let's audit this place. This report was audited. The audit is at the desk of the president.
No action.
When are we going to get the auditor's financial statement of the August 26? If we have to fight corruption, and it is old corruption, because you are not very willing to tackle old corruption, how are we going to tackle corruption? Corruption, in our view, is corruption. Whether it's fish rot, whether it's whatever corruption, it is corruption, and your government must tackle corruption. Lastly, illicit financial outflows, transfer pricing, and base erosion. Mm. President Becky, in his famous report, reported that Africa is losing close to $1 trillion on illicit financial outflows, transfer pricing, and base erosion. What are we doing? NAMRA is doing a marvelous job in collecting taxes from Swartboy, from myself and everybody, but they are losing the battle on getting the companies that are mining in this country, that are taking our money and declaring bankruptcy of their companies and taking resources from our country. How is your presidency going to really attack and make sure that we confront these illicit financial outflows that takes away money that I knew need to build schools, hospitals, and clinics? With those few remarks, I thank you and I wish you well. Madam President, thank you very much.
Thank you. I now call upon Honorable Bernardo Swartboy.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sarah Nanjila Kugungelo Amavila, for giving me the floor. President, well done with a very motivating statement. You did well. If I was in Katatura, I was going to jump up and down as I felt the motivation that you're trying to give. But those are still words. They are still words.
Yes.
So I want to congratulate you and commend you and pledge our support wherever necessary to make sure that you succeed. And you will succeed. Because once you succeed, so many young women across this continent will be able to say, there was a woman president that became our hero, our role model. We want you to succeed, including the first gentleman. He will be a pioneering first gentleman. And we wish you well, General, also, in your duties as the first gentleman. Your Excellency, black people are losing land taken back by the Agricultural Bank of Namibia. Like never before. What the state succeeded to get black people on the left hand, the Agricultural Bank takes on the left side. You have a good minister. Please, can we rush to save the hundreds upon hundreds of black farmers who are about to lose their land? Agribank is no longer an affirmative bank.
Mm.
It's a bank with the principal aim of repossessing the land of our people. Maximizing profits, becoming insensitive, and this cannot go on.
Yes.
Again, When you look at the amount that you spoke about, 561 million or so for purchasing of cattle and many other things, there's indeed a commendable action, but a very small amount for a sector that has lived through 20 years of drought. 20 years of drought. And drought is such a powerful thing. In fact, drought led to and became an enabler of colonialism because communities became poor. Here we are just emerging from a 20-year drought. And we go to the agri-bank and ask for loans. It's impossible to get loans. It's impossible. And farmers want to restock. There are also other things farmers want to do. They want to mechanize. Even farmers like Benan, we want to mechanize, they tell us. But it's tough. Government subsidies are low.
No, it's nothing.
And when you look at the Europeans, under the WTO rules, you are not supposed to subsidize agriculture. But the Europeans, under the Common Agricultural Policy, have taken a route to say that agriculture and farming is actually a cultural enterprise. The traditional foods, the way of rural life is being maintained. That's our culture. And through the cultural processes, they have actually funded agriculture. If you are a farmer in France today or in Germany, you are likely to get 40,000 euro subsidy annually. Here, we don't get, the farmers are telling us. Everything is your own money and your own resources, and the cost of production have gone up, but the income that farmers get has de-escalated with over 40% over the past 35 years. It's tough to be a farmer. In fact, I met farmers, about 40 of them, that have stopped farming, young men, young white farmers or young white men and girls don't come back to take over farms anyway. But the black ones that are in the sector are unable to continue. Then there is the resettlement process. I would, if you have time, Your Excellency, to visit a farmer called John Leidago Damase, just 10 kilometers west of Kilo 40, so that Your Excellency can see that resettlement entirely on all metrics is not necessarily a failure. That man, Leidago Damase, left his job from the local authority and became one of the big producers, but on a resettlement farm. If he can be assisted a little bit more, a little bit consistently, that man can be a role model for many. Then you look at NAMRA. NAMRA is not a joke to be played with if you are a voter in this country. They celebrate an overachievement of tax collections, and you go and look at features of people, there's nothing, because NAMRA has taken everything. I've seen that you have reduced taxes for businesses, but for the voters, the individuals, that reduction has not come. But, Your Excellency, NAMRA is further panel beating farmers out of the agricultural sector. If you drive from wherever you drive to your farm, that's leisure. You can't claim anything. If you build a house to improve the farm, that's your business.
Double cap is not even
considered. Yes, double cap is not even tax rebatable.
Yeah.
If you purchase a double cap 4x4 under the old system, you could claim. Now, you can't claim. NAMRA takes the money. So here you don't have subsidies on the left. On the right, you don't have every bank supporting you in any way. And in the center is a farmer that must take a decision. Do I participate in feeding the nation or do I go home because whatever I put into the farm gets depleted every time? So I ask you, Your Excellency, because you have made a good appointment actually in Mekengari, that you ask him to work harder so that, number one, black farmers are rescued, that they don't lose their land. Number two, this thing of comparing farming land with a house, that you can pay off a house for 20 years but also a farm for 20 years, cannot be.
Yes.
I think in terms of what the apartheid regime was doing, 40-year payment, down payment period on a farm. That's an acceptable period. Because a farm and agriculture itself is so exposed to variables, tariffs and trade, non-tariff barriers to trade, markets, as well as the rain that is, in a country like this, very challenging. So that a 40-year loan repayment period with the first 8 to 9 years being interest-free can really be looked at urgently. Otherwise, many of these children, the generations that you will leave behind, will never think that going onto the land and producing is something worthwhile. They will see it as a waste of money. They will see it as an unnecessary expense that does not give rewards, and therefore they will not go there at all. And we'll leave our land lying fallow, unattended, and all our attempts that we have done will become nothing. Your Excellency, fiscal decentralization and the empowerment of the local state.
Yes. Powerful.
The local state is in disarray. Local authorities are challenged with having to squeeze money from residents where there are no significant jobs. You look at a place like Windhoek, the 40% or less than 40% of residents finance the 60% that are in informal settlements. You look at Windhoek, they finance Groot Oak, but Groot Oak does not pay any contribution. Water and electricity bills are high. We moved a motion here for the write-off of water and electricity bills to help the domestic economy and families to breathe a little bit and to reboot the system.
Yes.
That was adopted, community consultations were done, society supported it. NAM Water and NAM Power blocked this thing. Can we look first, Your Excellency, at implementing the decision that the National Assembly took to have water and electricity write-offs implemented? That's number one.
Yes.
Number two, I know you have been a minister, but I want to take you through this month by month, more or less, Your Excellency. The government, in terms of the law, expects local authorities to send in their budget by around May. So every local authority in this country must now submit their budget. That budget gets approved by the people in Windhoek around August. Around August. Then the government has a midterm budget review process in September, where they now tell local authorities, boys and girls, speed up your implementation. But the budget was just approved in August. You have now to implement, but September, central government comes and says, implement. You have not done this. Sometimes, even this morning, in fact, we found that Malta here got its money from the central government last week, but it's for the budget year ending now. So what are they supposed to do? So now local authorities run around, request for quotations quickly, and the process is just haphazard. That's why local authorities are unable to do things significantly. But Your Excellency, you said something important, that sometimes the law may not be the problem. Because Roads Authority, Your Excellency, gives money to all local authorities in a far more efficient way. How do they do it? They have private sector engineers that sit and work hard to process things. And so local authorities fund development programs through RA money. The central government money is not coming until February, March the next year. That's a very serious problem. I think, Your Excellency, you need to look at this matter urgently. We said this also to late President Kengok, and he began to do certain things. But we think the answer is either to give many of these resources directly to the local authorities in a much more carefully managed way so that the work can actually be done faster. Because essentially what you do is that the government plans for a 12-month budget process, but we actually have 11 months. If a local authority has to implement a project, there is a month, hold on, Speaker, there is a month called There is a builder's, there is a builder's holiday, 15 December to 15 January. That's a whole month of implementation that society does not get service. So actually local authorities and regional councils work on an 11-month financing scheme, but the central government plans as if you have a full year. Two more issues, Your Excellency. The Ancestral Land Commission report had economists do studies to assess how much did Ovaherero, Damarasan, and Nama communities lose after the German advent of colonialism. That report found that these communities from 1904 in terms of land.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge as we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Your Excellency, one more last thing, Speaker. I thank you so much for the time you have given me. You have moved oil and gas to your offices.
Yes.
But the law for the longest, since 91, has the Minister of Minerals as the person to sign off things to work with that sector. Will you have the law amended so that the President can be Minister of Mines and Oil also? Because how will you sign? How will, because alternatively you will have to create a Minister of Presidential Affairs, also responsible for oil and gas, so that you can do this without having to amend the law necessarily. But I'm sure your technical people will advise you. I was just raising this matter. Your Excellency, 100% subsidized tertiary education, very good. But we need to find out how you are going to help balance free education and infrastructure and staffing needs. There is no clarity on the long-term funding mechanism. Industrialization and value addition, it's good. Beneficiation and processing, we support 125%.
There's a bill. Will she support
but, yeah, and there is a bill. Will you support it? High capital skills requirements, skills mismatch, all of these things. And you spoke very passionately about industrial zones. We don't hear where you are going to get the investors from. Because if you look, as you do when you're a foreign affairs minister, I hear the concept of economic diplomacy is coming back. That's very good. China is on a downturn. German economy for the third year in a row will grow at 0%. American economy is projected to go down. Europe, the growth there has flattened out. Latin America, perhaps Argentina, is recovering. African economies are growing but subject to Western economies growing where we export things. And the Asian economies are not strong. Which countries will it be that will invest in this processing zones that you are talking about? And have you done careful studies? Because a 20% tax on those that will come from outside to invest as you want them to, a 20% tax will not be an attractive tax. They would want between 7 to 15% tax. That's what draws them. It's cheap labor that draws international capital to your society. And that's what China is learning now. If you don't have cheap labor added with low taxation, you can't draw people to export processing zones and to industrial zones. And by the way, your commitment to industrialization does not find any application in the budget.
Yeah.
Because you have just budgeted a combined 522 million for industrialization, mines and energy. Where is the state-led part of industrialization? Because you will have to find money to set up those zones practically, bring electricity, bring services, bring infrastructure so that those investors can come. The 522 million will not, Your Excellency, be enough. But I understand. Thank you very much. I'm giving a disclaimer. I understand that every president that comes in, the first state of the nation is not entirely yours because you are taking from what was. So I understand that part. I understand the economy was not managed by you as well. And in the next state of the nation, you will do much better. But, Your Excellency, I can tell you, my dear mother, whom I love so much, your government seems to be everywhere, and therefore it will be nowhere unless you trim down. We don't hear your statement landing somewhere. Kengop's government landed somewhere with old age pension grants, got a low-hanging fruit, landed it somewhere. There was impact.
Yes.
There was money circulation.
Yes.
There was a reduction slightly in poverty and so on. Where is your government landing? You are all over the place. 700 million for formalization of informal settlements. And therefore you are throwing peanuts at all problems, and you will not be able to address any problem, Your Excellency. But we are here to support you. We love you so much. We wish you well. And we commend you.
So thank you very much. I think now I will have to give the floor to Her Excellency to respond, because the questions are too many. They are too many, and I would like to indicate really that some members have taken up to 15 minutes asking questions. It will be difficult for the President to keep track of the questions we are asking and for her to give us the answers that we expect her to. Your Excellency, really, I apologize. I think maybe we are excited because you are coming here for the first time. You may please take the floor. You may respond seated, of course, and the, address the questions.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members. I have also to thank all of you for those who congratulated me and for the discussion that are going on in the chamber. The first intervention came from the leader of the official opposition, Honorable Nashinge, and who is specifically, after the introductory statement, was concerned about the real targets of the jobs we are to create, the houses, and the methods we are using to create jobs. Specifically, he referred to the creative as well as to the sports industry. And as far as the houses, clearly I mentioned in my statement the 10,000, which of course the House reacted of saying too few, that will go to 50,000 in 5 years. But as I have mentioned, I have to be realistic, as all of you are concerned about the status of our economy. And for me, it's better to under-promise and over-produce, and the possibilities are high. As to how or the methods we are going to use for
for the creative industry and the sports industry in the job creation. I'm sure that whoever understands these industries, you realize that almost every activities that is carried out in this particular industry, it's a job creation. You can talk about the creative industry, and which is very wide. You can take off the film industry. And Namibia is one country that is found to be a good spot for us to have film cities. And there are those who are interested on that. And once you create even a small one, you realize how many jobs you will be creating in so many activities. Like you can talk about those who have to set up the city. They must be trained, and you need people there to do the work. You can talk about those who do the makeups. You can talk about those who are going to design the attires for different spots or different points in the film that is being played. So that is how, and whoever is going to invest in that, they will definitely be able to create jobs. The sports industry, as I mentioned in my introduction statement, is where you have also the research. In fact, even the creative industry, there's a lot of research that has to go there. And that, again, is job creation. So these are the strategies that will be able to create jobs in those two industries. And then I come now to my son. The good thing, most of you are my sons, if not all. The AR president, thank you for congratulating me also. Really, you have made very good statements where there are proposals, and it's good that you have shared it with me, as it is giving a lot of proposals, and this is now talking to what I say when I refer to the laws. Now, definitely, when we sit and discuss all these proposals, you realize that there might be those who you are saying them because you are on that side of the road. And when we are talking, we will realize what are we really talking about. The issue of manufacturing and the agro-processing. Agro-processing, I have talked about it. And you have to realize that manufacturing that include the example you gave of the shoe factory, it goes together with agro-processing. Because for you to manufacture shoes, the product has to come from agriculture. So therefore, there is no limit to the agro-processing. It's because of the time that I could not go and say, in the agro-processing, you can have leather, you can have fabric. In agro-processing, you can do a lot. So it only depends as to which one is being considered the most appropriate or viable at that particular time. Because you might realize that in economic development, you start with one program, and then it can multiply to the others. Depends on the success of that one. As for the free education as where we are going to get money. I must tell you that to make our education 100% free, if you do the calculation, you realize that already the government is paying a bulk of the education. You have to take how much the subsidy that goes to the public institutions. And then you take now the money that goes to the students' financial fund. And this money is still going to those institutions. It's only a matter of taking it, lose something on the way, and that is going really to reduce the gap. And
are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
There's a lot in the long run what you are going to benefit from the education. So the other issues raised about 35 years of colonialism, I really feel this is just maybe we are trying to make an argument. And when we are discussing, I hope the names we're mentioning are not real names. Because in this chamber, there is also a rule of not bringing names of the people who might not be there to talk for themselves. I don't know what's their age, whether they are on the retirement age, if they are real names. And I don't think that as a government and how we have structured ourselves, we can move people regardless of their age in order to do replacement. But as I say, it has become now difficult since the people mentioned, as you are saying, they are real, they are not in this chamber, so that they can really explain as to, I mean, they can explain their situation. Maybe they have not reached the age. I don't know. Nevertheless, some of the issues you mentioned, I say if there are laws that are hindering, because for me, this government, I'm emphasizing on service delivery. And I go further to talk about service deliveries and quality service delivery. And that's why I'm saying if there is a law that is a hindrance, it must be amended. And if it's human being, for us in the cabinet, we are listening and we must really handle these issues. As for the our membership to the ICC, to these international bodies, these are some of the things you might also recall when it comes to the ICC. There was a debate on Namibia withdrawing, but it remains really a public debate, and if that debate can continue and then we can find a consensus, we are there to be guided by the Namibian people on what we should do. The National Youth Service, I have not mentioned about the National Youth Service, but I know in the budget there is provision for that. The National Youth Service is very critical. I'm aware of many young people who came and discussed with me, and some are even demanding comparatory National Youth Service, But in our democratic Namibia, I want a debate on that. But we are ready to make it comparison. If you noted the last year, we even took a deliberate decision to make sure that the facilities of the National Youth Service must be utilized fully. And if you visited those places, you find that in a long time, you find more people in those facilities than before. In fact, Honorable Speaker, I also want to suggest that nice members of the Parliament, National Assembly, might be given a 1 month to go to the National Youth Service. It's necessary. It's necessary because there is a lot of training that is going on there, including my Namibia, my pride. And we need really to be refreshed to understand the pride of our country. My dear son, Benani, the policies to align to the strategies. You are very much right. And the training is one area we are emphasizing on. The only thing I can tell you, as a country, we have to resource this training. We are currently also engaging the private sector. I have to start this to make it clear. At the beginning, I said, and that is what is going to happen, that these programs, they will be funded through budget, national budget, through private-public partnership, and through the private sector. And they can play a role in all the sectors we are talking about. So, and when it comes to the training, for example, the oil and gas, I had meetings with these three companies which are in the oil and gas. And we are saying together, even using this petrol fund, together we need to set up a petroleum institution in Namibia. Because now we are going to have to be an oil-producing country. But at interim, there are already some Namibians who have been taken to other countries where, for example, Total, they have operations in different countries. And as we are sitting here, there is a number of Namibians who are now attached to their operations in other countries. And this applies to other companies. Meanwhile, they are contributing to our vocational training, which are focused. NAMT is one, like the one in the south. They are making a contribution. So that is how strategic we are in aligning our policies with the strategies in order to prepare ourselves. The one thing for sure, like when we talk about national content, local content, here we must make our own investment because no one wants to free yourself. I mean to free others. So we need our local business people to understand these industries. And then you say, do we have well-established caterer who can provide catering to those companies who are 200 kilometers into the sea? Do we have laundry services that has to do that? Because these are the value chain that we are talking about. And that's why we have to prepare. And looking at our population, if we organize ourselves, we might end up becoming an importer of labor when these industries are growing. But first, we need to prepare ourselves. Yes, the spending on agriculture. Yes, that is the amount we have. And when people talk about agriculture, I want sometimes to say they are really repeating what I've been saying for quite a long time, or since I started being given this opportunity to be in the position where I am. Agriculture, I have made it a priority. This 500 plus million for agricultural infrastructure, that's where I'm saying the private sector has to come in. The green schemes are the starting point. Already the government has invested because we have the land, we have equipments there, and now when the private sector is coming in, they have to bring something on the table because the government is not going to hand over the green scheme to the private sector. But the government will have an agent that will be part of that. And the equity of these agents is what the government has already put in. And then others, they will bring their side. And in that way, we are going to make sure that the green schemes, they are at full operation. We are also talking about helping small-scale farmers for them to contribute to the food basket. And then you talk about the housing, I've mentioned it when I was talking, responding to the other question. And then the value chain, I also mentioned about the value chain. And specifically, you talked about the aviary, which is my favorite sector. You remember, as a minister of environment and tourism, we are still struggling with CITES. And remember, we are part and parcel of the global economy. And everything we are doing, we have to be very strategic because we cannot operate in isolation. We will continue to engage so that we can come to the point where we can use this product locally. You remember at one point, we even succeeded to be given a once-off sale of the stock that we had in our stock. So it's really still a discussion. Not an easy one, but we will proceed with it. The issue of the discussion between Namibia and Germany on the genocide, and I think this one, Honorable, my son's Small boy, you also asked about it. The process is still on. We are engaging one another. And there is no really a question of one avoiding the other. But remember, there are quite a number of stakeholders. And as a government, when you have to deal with different stakeholders, you have to see how you can also make a balance. So this is really the situation in which we are. So you have members of the community who feel we can start where we are now and using the example of other situation. And it was more problematic when there was a clause to say we have closed off in this negotiation. But the fact that now there is an understanding that what is going to be given, that is the proposed, the 1.1, is not the final, then you will be able to move. That is really the thinking. And as we are discussing, no one even can talk about a figure. Of course, you talk about the study, you are right. That study was made by the economic committee of the government committee. And that was done to enable us to understand the magnitude of the problem and for us to start the discussion. So that is really where we are in far as this issue is concerned. The whole issue.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
And you are rightly saying the discussion is because of the status of the institution in question. But that does not mean there is no accountability that is required. In any institution where the public money is used, however, one needs to understand the details of it, because you also know even the Constitution talks about national security. No, I'm just telling you because you mention it. It's you who mention it. But then really, where there's corruption, if it should be come out for it to be dealt with. I told the nation that I'm not going to do witch hunts, but cases that are already on, they should continue on. The cases that are coming now, they will be mine, but I want people to be open so that we find a way how we can deal with the corruption. The financial outflow, the Mbeki report is known to all of us. It's a continental and world program, and our financial intelligence are the one really we can rely on. But you know that in the world of technology, and here I want to use the words of President Obama, when during the summit he was addressing, he said, in the world of technology, the criminals are always ahead of governments. So, but that does not mean we are relaxing. And when you see things, let us come in and discuss, because these are serious matters. We will not even be able to address them when we are talking in the chamber, talking to everybody, because they are done in a very cunning way. So when you find them, let us sit as a nation and then deliberate on them and see how could we find a way for us to reduce the impact. I'm saying reduce because you don't know what their next strategies, but you just need to be reducing. Yes, the issue of the black people losing land. I had a tripartite meeting with Agribank, the Ministry of Agriculture, and the Farmers Association on this particular issue. And we really agree that we have to find a way to address this problem. I fully agree with you that we are talking about land reform, agrarian land reform, but we are not making the progress that we want to make. It's also true that all over the world, agriculture is highly subsidized. And that is why we are also, as from last year, we have started the several subsidization programs for our farmers. I'm not saying it's enough, but we have started. Another challenge that we look at also is that the agricultural inputs in our country are very expensive. And that is not talking to our agenda of food security. And these are the things that needs a national debate so that we find a solution if we are to find. One of the issues I can refer to is the equalization prices that is very important, because the beef industry is very important sector in Namibia, but truly because we have been experiencing droughts, it has a great impact in our beef industry, and that's why we are talking about the restocking, helping in terms of the bulls and other livestock for us to meet for us to improve on and protect our beef industry. The resettlement farms. At one point, I was given a task to chair a cabinet committee on land and other related matters. And during that time, I visited the resettled farms. I asked her to visit four regions and to see a successful resettled farm and a non-successful resettled farm. Truly, the ones I found to be successful is because that person was working at UNICEF and then was resettled. And because he's having capital, she became successful to the point that she even built a house with a double story in a farm. I was very impressed. And that is why we have to change, and it is also mentioned that we have to build the capacity of our resettled farm. Another problem, there's a difference between group resettlement and individual resettlement. Namibians, we are very individualistic. When you are group resettled, the work will not be done. I'm sorry to say that, but when individual is resettled, then that is where you find. Because when you are a group, it continuously remains a government project. And that, because the government starts giving you plowing services, giving you seeds for winter and the summer, bring you fertilizers, the government pay electricity, the government give you fences, and then the water you find it there. Now, honestly, when you are given a farm with all this infrastructure, but after 2 years, then you are still waiting that you want the government to continue plowing for you, bring fertilizer, That's a problem. So our resettlement now, we agree that it should go together with education, training, and mentorship, so it to be successful. And then about NAMRA, it's very difficult. NAMRA doing a good thing here, doing a bad thing there. When we talk about primary surplus, maybe it's because they have collected what they have collected, but they might be a limit where they could collect and where they cannot collect. But definitely we need NAMRA. That is something for sure. It's only that maybe sometimes we do not understand. And there are some things that are blamed on NAMRA, which is not necessarily NAMRA's problem. A classic example, people are saying when you are getting your mahangu, then it's NAMRA. But then NAMRA is saying mahangu is an uncontrolled product, so it's not taxed when it comes in the country. Then there was a question on the local authority and the closing of water and so on. All the challenges of the local authorities. That's why we ask the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development to look into these issues so that we see if there's a way how we can help. Cross-subsidization is another thing one can look at, not just in municipality, but across. The problem we are having, we have so many people coming to towns, but they don't have the capacity to live in the towns. So what do we do? Can we de-proclaim those towns so that the government takes over? Or what is going to be a solution? You have a town, they want to be governed by the town laws, but then at the same time, they are not able to do that because of the growth of the population. So these are the challenges that we really need to understand. And also when it comes to the budgeting, which is said it arrives in the local authority late, we need to understand, is it because of the law? Do local authorities and the central government have the same budget period? I'm not sure whether the local authority also, financial year, do they all start at the same time or they start separately? And that is another challenge. When you are being subsidized from here, but your budget is different from another budget, I don't know whether we have now to see if that is made to be like that or it's because of the law, so that we see how we can balance the two. It's just like when we are paying our dues to the international organization. We have serious problems because our financial year in a country is not the same as the AU, as the UN, and so on. So sometimes, and it's not unique to Namibia, so therefore you find sometimes you pay late. You are not in area, you are paying late because your financial year comes in April, but the UN financial year starts in January. Now, these are some of the things that we need to look at to harmonize our program. The road fund, maybe we have also to look at their law. I think the issue of the land, I have addressed it. And non-debt retrenchment, these are some of the... I always say that the resources we are having, they are not renewable. Yesterday, I was having a discussion on the oil industry, which again is not renewable. And then I say, because this is not renewable, during the period we are harvesting it, we must really try to get the maximum so that we can invest in the sectors that can sustain us once these resources has dried out. So, and this has to be a strategy for all of them. And then the issue of the 20% tax. You are saying it's not attractive to investors, but we are also looking in the region. We are trying, when we are even changing from 30 to 20, I mean to up to talking about 28 and so, we are also seeing the trend in the region, because we are saying these tax are meant for us to be competitive and to attract investment in the country. On the issue of the oil, which is under the office of the president, yes, we are going to amend the law. And already the process has started. Lucky enough, we were found at the point we are reviewing the law. And now we have only to speed it up. Because even the industry, they are starting to, you know, there is an energy conference which is here, and I'm meeting many of them, some this evening after our meeting here, our session here, some tomorrow, and that's the question they are asking me, and I'm answering them. I have an answer to that. So we shouldn't worry. The law will be amended, and it has to be amended fast. Where am I landing? My landing is to create a job in this country. That's my landing. So I'm landing at creating jobs, whether it is in the creative industry, whether it is in the sports industry, whether it's on value addition, like I mentioned, like our marbles. Our marbles, really, they can create jobs. I was in Caribbean, and when I saw the machinery that are there, which can also be increased, because currently they just send a small percentage of their tiles to America and so on, and they are in demand. And these investors, they are saying they are ready to invest. When I went to Arandes to launch the high iron, there were investors from Emirates, from Qatar, from Europe, like Germany and so on. And among them, that's where there were discussions, how they were impressed about the green iron and how they feel that there is a possibility to proceed up to creating steel. Of course, I say that the world economics you cannot predict, but these are the people whom I'm engaging from different countries. As to what will happen later is very difficult in the economies, but you have those people who are talking about how they could invest in Namibia. One thing that appeals to them is our peace and stability. You can predict that being in Namibia, there's peace. And that is really the asset. As Namibians, we must protect the peace and stability. The investor, they want to go to a country where they feel their investment is safe. So that's why we must really protect that asset of ours. So those were basically, generally, but don't just look at the budget. Remember that these programs will be funded by the national budget, private-public partnership, and the private sector, both locally and foreign.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Now, there are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There are 8 people on the list. And I can tell that you are now beginning to appreciate why I was advising MPs to be brief and to the point. Yeah. And we also have a time limit. We, in terms of our rules, we are supposed to conclude at 17 hours 45. It's past that time now. But we usually have the president once a year. And she just made her maiden State of the Nation address. I can see everyone wants to have an opportunity to put their question to Her Excellency the President. I would like to request, to ask for your understanding, that we allow all the remaining members to pose their questions, but there would be no elucidation, no trying to justify the question or trying to point out the shortcoming of the policy. You just pose the question. And then, Her Excellency the President, we note that she also has other commitments, would also decide on how she deals with the answers. Yeah, because there are also experiences from the past on how the questions are dealt with. So do we agree to do that? Just take... Yeah, no, but the Constitution say we have rules and orders, and rules and orders say we end at 17 hours 45. Yes. Now, having said that, I would like to call upon Honorable Vetaruhe Kandrodu.
Yeah, thank you so much, Honorable Speaker. Yeah. Thank you, Najira, for the opportunity. Your Excellency, the President of our Republic of Namibia, you are jealous. My minutes. Yeah, congratulations for your victory as our first female president. And I really appreciate your speech, your maiden speech. In fact, when I assess some of the position is that it derives from Nuto Manifesto. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I know when we were doing our presentations on TV, I know your team that were busy with SWAPO Manifesto, they were glued to the screen. So thank you so much for having an inclusive approach. Now, on the issue of corruption, you tackled the issue of corruption very well. And I really appreciate that. But just do a simple thing. Don't renew the contract of the director of ACC. Just for one simple reason, just don't do it. It's a question and a statement. I think it's my opportunity. So you cannot have a director of ACC serving for 20 years. That's wrong. That's unethical. It's globally, nothing like that happened everywhere. Please change it if you want to be serious. Your Excellency, on the issue of genocide, respect your president. Why does government find it difficult to allow the affected communities to be at the forefront of the negotiations for the acknowledgement of genocide and reparation? Do you think with exclusion of the majority victims of genocide in the negotiations will put this issue to rest if your administration signed the so-called JD? Remember, our campaign started in 1908 when the concentration camp was closed, up to date. And it will continue even after you have sided with the Germans by signing this JD. Even the next president, like Comrade Gurare, when he's going to take over, will continue advocating for inclusiveness. No matter how many apologies is given, how much money is given, as long we remain victims of both our government and the one of Germans, we'll fight for our rightful place until it's granted. When are you going to hold the Genocide Consultative Conference? It was resolved here. Secondly, Your Excellency, your predecessor, Your Excellency, my former president, you are welcome. To this house, Your Excellency, your predecessor has appointed the Delimitation Commission as per the provision of the Namibian Constitution. As far as my collection says me very well, on the 20th or 21st January this year, the Commissioner submitted the full report to His Excellency Nangolo Mbumba for consideration. Was his report handed over to you, or is it not, or it got frozen somewhere? If it was handed over to you, when are you going to release this report for the public to know, as we are now preparing for the upcoming regional and local authority election? And this report is very important, and it cannot be kept secretive. Your Excellency, these are coming from the ground, the blue-collar workers. I'm asking this question on behalf of the GRN cleaners, laborers, and institutional workers. This group, their net salary is at 5,307.22 cents. Are you aware about this? If not, be aware now. Having said that, as a result, this group can't qualify for a housing loan from a local bank to buy a house. The NHC don't have tailor-made housing program for them, as their income is very little. Build Together project cannot accommodate them. While Czech Dwellers Federation program, it takes up to 6 years to save money until you qualify for a loan. Why can't your administration help this group and the rest of civil servants to access their pension portion from GIPF to use as collateral to buy property or loan out to build houses wherever they feel comfortable with? Yes. During your campaign, you promised the Namibian nation that you will create 250,000 job opportunity for the Namibians. How will you do that if the Ministry of Environment and Tourism has stopped the wood and charcoal harvesting project in communal areas, pushing young people to come to towns for better opportunities, as the rural development opportunity have been closed by your staff members to give opportunity to commercial farmers? Are you planning to open this harvesting, or you will continue to oppress rural communities and promote urbanization? I wanted to, it's just the time is over, let me just run through. Your Excellency, this one is an assignment. You don't need to respond, you need to act. I'm bringing very urgent, pertinent land issue to your attention. I was approached by the disgruntled Oshodonjupa region generational farm workers of Okodongo Minya farm, who temporarily reside at the one post called Okamuru. The entire farm belongs to Schneider Waterberg family. However, they sold this post Okamuru to Mr. Ruth to turn this post into a game farm while all generational farm workers are still residing there without their consent. Mr. Ras has started to develop this plot without considering the natives. Because as I am speaking now, the generational farm workers are subjected to pay grazing and maintenance fees for their cattle that don't belong to them because they are not allowed to have their own ear tags or brand. Therefore, I request Your Excellency to send a high-level delegation to Okodongo, Minya and Okamuru in consultation with the former Governor Honorable Unomasa Werikwa, who know the background very well, who have the entire background of the situation, your Minister of Agriculture, the Governor and Oshodo Juba Regional Council team. My request to you, Excellency, is for the government to buy this farm and give to all these generations under the Ancestral Land Conference resolution.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And they can, and so that they can get kickbacks and S&Ts. When are you going to address these issues so that money can be spent during the whole financial year for the intended purpose? Can the President elaborate on the future of green hydrogen project after billions were injected into it? Finally, can the President elaborate your administration strategy of addressing climate change and environmental sustainability, as climate change poses significant risk to Namibian environment and economy? We need to understand how the government plans to mitigate this risk through policies focused on sustainability, conservation and renewable energy will be important for future generations. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Member. The next member is, and I give 3 minutes to each member to please pose their questions. Questions, not requests or directives or anything. Yeah, Honorable Ambrosius Kumbwa of the APP, 3 minutes.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number.
Mokongulele kwa tuko maikuto wami na apili kwa mavchaziva. Mwvele kisema app ato lokasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, mwalizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwila mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hama sifera sesifa app ya imba, kize tatama. Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, Nizengwe Zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavera kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kuifumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.